God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers, and God did not wink his eye. He spoke. God said, let there be light. Because we believe in him and his word, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. You, like me, probably heard the top of the hour news, and you, like me, have probably heard the mayor of Athens, Georgia, blaming the death of Lake and Riley on President Trump, who said mean things about immigrants. That's one of the things he said in his press conference. It's breathtaking in its arrogance. It is stupefying in its lack of compassion, and it is biblical. When leaders listen to lies, all of their followers are going to be corrupt. It's in fact, there is a psalm. Yeah, here it is. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 12 through 14. If a ruler listens to lies, all his officials become wicked. Well, we have, they're not leaders. We have bosses who listen to the lie from the liar. And all their officials are becoming wicked. So many of them are openly wicked. What a wicked thing. Your party, in concert with Mitch McConnell's arm of the Republican Party, has made the determination that for twin perverse incentives, you're willing to have no border. On Mitch McConnell's side of the Republican Party, it's the CEO Roundtable and the Chamber of Commerce, who dislike the wages Americans earn and are bored with process and tired of waiting for the wages to be forced down. So they rush the country with illegal immigrants. I'm not bearing false witness. I sat in the room with the heads of those organizations. I sat there with them when I worked in Washington, D.C. and brought up illegal immigration as a topic. Oh, we don't touch that. And I asked later with people who work with them, why? Oh, it drives down wages. It's really good for them. The unions get membership. And as, praise God Almighty, this has now become common nomenclature and knowledge. The Democrats also intend to decimate, or if you like, eviscerate the Electoral College. Eviscerate means quite literally to cut your heart out, to eviscerate. And cutting out the heart of the Electoral College is to cut down a country that has been the home for religious liberty, that was founded upon a recognition that governments don't get to do whatever they want because there's a God. And that is the Christian God who gives us rights by virtue of us being created by him. So the Democrats have made that determination. Flood the cities with bodies because we're bored of waiting, we're tired of waiting, and we're getting paid to do this, to launch this invasion. So my judgment on the government shutdown is shut it down. What are you not shutting down? I mean, what are you preserving? I've heard Mitch McConnell say that we all certainly agree that we can't shut the government down, that we don't want to do that. Why? No, why? Ukraine? What's the other reason? What are you paying to keep going? You're paying to keep going a lie that there's a migrant crisis. There's not a migrant crisis. There is a migrant program. Now, it can seem like God has turned his back on us. Can't it? I mean, please be honest. Can it seem that way? This morning, I heard a sermon from a very difficult book. It's one of the minor prophets, Hosea. Hosea was told by God to buy out of prostitution a woman, to make her his wife, to have children with her. And she was repeatedly unfaithful to him, including going back to prostitution, including at one point moving in with a guy who was treating her as a prostitute and renting her body out. And Hosea was actually moved by God to provide money to that man so that man would actually keep this woman clothed. And still he was told to once again buy her out of sex slavery and bring her back into your home. That this is the setting. This is what God wanted Hosea to go through so Hosea could understand how God feels about this situation. There's a good movie on this called Redeeming Love. Not on it, but inspired by it. This is from Hosea chapter 11, verse 8. How can I give you up, Ephraim? This is the Lord speaking. How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Adma? How can I make you like Zeboiim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. God loves us so much, he's still pursuing us. He loves us, and he's going to let us live through this. You're going to live through a time where the nation you loved turns its back on you, utterly turns its back on you. You're going to be hated because of the Lord Jesus. You're going to watch corruption reign. And you have a choice. You can give in to the corruption, or you can turn your face towards me. Keep your face on me. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Remember the promise. Remember the covenant. Remember that you're a sojourner here. Remember that you're a traveler. Remember this is not your home. Remember I've won. And the corruption is so utterly clear. The same people who are telling us that, and they are actually saying this, that the border has never been more secure, that they're actually saying this, admitted that they did away with the so-called harsh border policies of President Trump. Here is Alejandro Mayorkas back in September of 21.
And I'd like to understand from you what Trump-era immigration policies have been banned, ended, reversed, and if any investigations are underway by you.
So we have rescinded so many Trump immigration policies, it would take so much time to list them.
Wow. And those policies, remember, those were harsh. Those were literally Hitler. As everything else President Trump did was literally Hitler or Putin, interchangeable, choose your literally. Mike Seifert's journalist. This was retweeted by Senator Mike Lee. In the last week alone, illegal aliens have been arrested for murdering a college student in Georgia, murdering a 2-year-old boy in Maryland, raping a minor in Virginia, raping a minor at knife point in Louisiana, shooting 3 D.C. police officers. And he adds, you're no longer safe in Joe Biden's America. This has been coming for a long time. The Democrat Party made this decision. Joe Biden is the perfect person to be caused to carry all this out because he doesn't know what's going on. Again, I don't mean to be cruel. I simply will not lie with everybody else. Not everybody does it. I will not lie with people of the media pretending it's all very, very normal. He's very much in control, very vital. Shut it down. Shut the government down. You're not even really shutting the government down. You know what you're doing? You're shutting down the corruption. You're really saying you don't get to spend our money that way anymore. And the worst that would happen would be what? There are functions of government that still function. People still get their Social Security checks. Federal workers still get paid. It's just delayed. There's so much that continues on. And by the way, should we fear the government being shut down? Oh my gosh, what will we do? What will we do? How could we ever function? It might be that for a while you take care of your neighbor. Might be for a while you share food. Might be for a while you congregate at church, eat meals in common. Hey, that sounds like the book of Acts, doesn't it? Mitch McConnell has been absolutely at the center of allowing this all to occur. Is he paid off? I don't know. I just know he's been at the center of it. Many people in D.C. are paid off. I just don't know it with McConnell. You know, he's stepping down as leader of the Senate GOP, minority leader of the Senate. And it's, I was looking at the calendar, it's 441 years he's been leader. I thought he'd make it 442. Not quite. Senator Mike Lee has been on a Twitter storm, tweet storm, it's called. And he's not allowed to mention Mitch McConnell by name because that's not done in the Senate and he could be censored. So here's some of the things that he wrote on Twitter. The next Senate GOP leader must emphatically denounce the uniparty and permanently disband the firm. By the firm, he means the mobbed up Republicans and Democrats who stand together against the, well, word of God, lying to the American people about our debts, about the existence of a debt ceiling. We don't have one. About the importance of Ukraine in comparison to keeping our country afloat. He wrote as well, Mike Lee on Twitter, the senator, the next Senate GOP leader shouldn't organize ambush sessions in an effort to scold and humiliate conservative senators. You probably know about this. You probably heard the audio of Mitch McConnell doing just that. He also points this out. The next Senate GOP leader should care more about our border security than Ukraine's. That's a great point. He should care more about that. But the current leader doesn't, which is why he's not a leader. Shut it down. If you had been, let's say this, the attempt that the people in D.C. make to complicate things is astounding and funny. Because simple real-life examples can destroy their arguments. For example, if you paid for your kid to have a rental house, and it was your house, and you let them stay in there, and you gave them rent-free existence in the house you owned, and they decided to have repeated house parties there on a repeated basis, and that house parties were destroying the house, that there'd been members of the house party who had killed family pets, and then the ultimate tragedy happened where a house party killed one of your kids and the other siblings didn't want anything to change. And you would say, wait a minute, these people just killed your sister. Well, yeah, but still give us free rent. We're not going to change anything. We want to keep doing the same thing. Give us free rent. Would you say, okay, no. No, you'd say, what wickedness has befallen my children? What would you be funding? So they might be saying this, wait a minute, you're not going to fund the rent? You're going to shut down the rent? No, I'm going to stop you from destroying yourself with my money. You can go destroy yourself elsewhere. I'm also not going to allow you to continue to destroy my property. There is no difference between our country and our home. This is our shared home. So committed is the media to this. Open borders. There's a reporter from Axios who wrote a piece pretending that Arizona has legalized murder. She actually said in her piece that it's now legal to shoot and kill someone if you suspect that they might have tried to sneak onto your property. It's a blatant lie. What Arizona said is the Castle Doctrine, which means you can defend yourself against an invasion of your home, an armed invasion against your home. It simply seeks to extend that into defending your actual property, like your ranch. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll continue. like that piece of music. Welcome back. Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Yeah, I am not done talking about the after effects of the response to a virus that our tax dollars, in all likelihood, paid to create. And before people say, "Go well, wait, there's an election and there's Super Tuesday," there is, and that's going to happen anyway. And if we don't speak about this, the people who do not want us to speak about this will win. They cannot allow us to focus on this. And we're not. We're taking a segment so that you are aware of some things that are not going to be aired on Fox or elsewhere, for that matter. Because there's a news cycle. And we have to feed the news cycle. And that's part of our responsibility. We just did that. We just talked about some of the top stories and did, I think, I hope that we related it to God, or at least I got out of God's way and let him relate it this way. I don't know that it gets to a level more important to God than the vandalizing of our DNA and our bodies and our ability to reproduce and our ability to continue living, all of which has happened with the COVID injections, which has killed people. Well, and probably 17 million. Huge number, right? Well, three studies using all different methodologies have arrived at that number. And that's terrible. It's an ungodly level of deaths. Very, very easily foreseeable. Super easy to foresee. And it's going to continue to happen. There are doctors, though, that are finally awakening to how badly they allowed themselves to be utterly conned. Now, that's tough language, isn't it? That sounds accusatory, perhaps even nearing to false witness. Here's how I defend what I just said. I am a community college dropout. After football was over, I left community college to go move to Seattle and write songs and play in a rock band. I have continued to educate myself. I continue to read and research and try to acquire knowledge and praise God for that he's given me that joy. But how did I know? The moment I understood how the COVID injections worked, how was I able to say, and I'm recorded saying it, and I've lived part of my life on radio for a long time. I'm recorded saying, wow, these things are going to make a lot of people really sick. Well, how would you know that? Because you're causing the body to create a foreign object and a poison. That's going to make people sick. It's going to derange the body's immune system. And so it has. So there is a doctor named Dr. Annette Bosworth, or she calls herself Dr. Boz. She has figured out, finally, by virtue of a research paper that I read in pre-publication. It's a research paper that is one of the most celebrated research papers in the history of research papers. It has more views, downloads, and reads than a paper in the same publication would have had in a year. This paper had 330,000 views, downloads, and reads, which compares in a month. Which compares to the average 2,700 in a year. It was so persuasive, it has been cited 293 times in a month. Average paper would be 30 total. And the paper called for the end of the COVID injections because they're killing people. And they were... authors were charitable, saying pharma got sloppy. They made some mistakes. I don't share that view. I don't think these were mistakes. They're too consistent. This paper has been removed from the same journal that accepted it by one guy, a junior staffer named Tim Kurgis. He's the research integrity advisor. This journal that published this, the Cirrus Journal, Nature Cirrus Journal, Springer Nature Cirrus platform, senior members of that organization apparently read this document and added and accepted it. And this one guy pulled it down, and he, in his description of why he pulled it down, you know what he didn't succeed in doing? Meeting any of the standards as to why a paper like this should be pulled down, because those standards are published. And the writers of the paper, the researchers, answered his accusations, and it's too dense to read on the radio. It would bog us down. But it is an extraordinary slapdown of this guy, up to and including the fact that he actually has no idea how these injections work. Literally no idea. So this Dr. Bosworth decided to admit what went on and how she was fooled. So Dr. Bos mentally and emotionally processes her regret for injecting herself and others with the mRNA gene hijacking shots, which some people still pretend are vaccines.
So let's start by saying this peer-reviewed article is showing that that the COVID-19 vaccinations, well, they were a big deal over the last 4 years, and we did some incredible partnerships with the policymakers of our community and the scientists of our community to break some of the rules in order to serve the public in a time of crisis. So one of those rules that we broke was this right here, the Emergency Use Act. So the EUA included, hey, we need to do this right now because of what's going on in our community. But that comes with a risk that I knew about, but it probably isn't until this paper that I really appreciated that there were a whole bunch of things called significant adverse effects, that's SEAs, that included things like death and cancer and cardiovascular and autoimmune problems and neurologic disorders that were happening at a rate that we thought was acceptable because of the situation.
So the situation, my first comment to Dr. Bos is, A, thank you for admitting that you got conned, and B, what was the situation? The situation we were told was that everybody was at equal risk from this. Doctor, that should have been your first clue. That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen with viruses. Your first clue should have been, no, everybody's not at the same risk. Your second clue should have been, wait, these tests are going to last 30 days? These trials? So at the end of that trial, you'll know what happens to people in 30 days, but not in 31. It's remarkable what people are willing to believe when they have fallen in love with a system and they serve a system, a human system, which are always going to fail us. If you track the fruits of people, what fruits did they produce in their life? And you saw that Dr. Anthony Fauci had been appointed president and dictator for a little while, President Trump's biggest mistake. You might have read about him, and you might have looked at the fruits of his labors. And in that research, you might have found out that there are a lot of people who are historians of so-called gay culture who believe that Tony Fauci murdered people with AZT. And if you were like me, look at that and go, oh, no, no. Oh, gosh, that's so strange. No, that would never happen. And then you might, like me, have read about AZT and learned that it was so poisonous in destroying people's bodies, the guy who invented it refused to patent it because he didn't want anybody to make a profit from it. It was pulled from trying to fight other illnesses, and Tony Fauci brought it back. And you might have said, wow, he doesn't sound like a very good guy. You might look at the fruits. He sounds like he's seeking self-aggrandizement. The Bible gives us these tools. So again, I praise God that Dr. Bosworth has been caused to come out and admit she got this all wrong. And in this clip here, Dr. Bos describes the ongoing harm from these injections caused by a cytotoxin they force your genes to produce.
I think if you're like me, when you get to the end of this article, it makes you think, what did we say yes to? What really did we say yes to? And I am not a conspiracy theorist. I really do believe in the hearts of people that are doing their job as scientists and doing their best to make the best policies and and rules for a community. But the one thing that I think should have been pointed out first is they started using the word vaccination when they probably shouldn't have been doing that. Oh yeah, here we go. There were some results that were strongly biased in order for it to work out. And never have I seen bias play out like this at this degree. All right, so this was the other part that bothered me. It bothered me from the beginning, but it really makes me nervous once you see what this... I had heard whisperings about this, but I didn't believe it. I did not believe it. So this bothered me from the beginning, though, that they kept using the word vaccine when it was not like a normal vaccine. This is a messenger RNA. This is a strand of single DNA or RNA that you make DNA from so that you're teaching the body about how to respond to this by impacting your DNA. So it shouldn't have been called vaccines. It should have been called, let me put a blue in here. It should have been called gene therapy product because it was really changing the gene therapy. Let me just show you this slide here where this is DNA on the top, which is double-stranded. Your body will make a messenger RNA from that, at which point you can make a protein. So maybe a spike protein?
Maybe. Maybe 42 trillion spike proteins in your body. Oh, so the doctor is saying that when they started calling these vaccines, it alarmed her. It should have. They're not. Never have been. But it should have alarmed her that the so-called public health authorities were also pretending that you don't have an immune system. Well, that's a wild charge. Let me tell you how I defend it. When the media was caused to put quote marks around the phrase herd immunity and to use the phrase so-called herd immunity, when the World Health Organization came out and said that there is no such thing as herd immunity without a so-called vaccine, that Dr. Boz should have said, oh, wow, this is a massive psyop. This is psychological warfare. If what is herd immunity? What is it? It's when a bunch of people become immune to something and they're large enough to call a herd. If there's no herd immunity, that would only happen because we don't have individual immune systems. Brutal lie. Lie among lies. So again, my question to the doctor is, how did I know these weren't vaccines when I'm a community college dropout? Well, I read about their function. Then I read the SEC paperwork, Securities and Exchange Commission paperwork. See, the pharma cannot be sued when they get to pretend something's a vaccine and get to put it on the childhood so-called vaccination schedule, but their shareholders can sue them. So their SEC document said things like, oh, by the way, this isn't going to stop infection or transmission. Oh, by the way. And here, Dr. Boz covers, well, let me go back for a second. We don't have time to play this last clip, but Dr. Boz went through all of the ways that Pfizer lied about the numbers. Pfizer and Moderna utterly lied about the numbers. They chose the healthiest possible people to give the injections. They tracked them for a very short period of time and said, oh, look, this is 100% effective at stopping severe symptoms for 30 days or shorter. 30 days. Then they came out and said 100% effective when, in short order, it became clear that it was 19%. And this covered up the fact that they knew this was going to cause heart problems and more. The doctor mentioned that. Here, Dr. Boz covers the DNA contamination found in multiple vials of mRNA injections and the dangers of having said contaminants injected into the body.
The double-stranded DNA has a high potential to trigger immune inflammatory reactions such as myocarditis. So you say, well, I don't know much about these vaccinations. Is that like a normal thing to find in your vaccination with an mRNA? Is you're going to have some double-stranded things? And they say each batch variability further complicated in recent findings of DNA contamination. Again, DNA contamination. First of all, what is DNA doing in a vaccination that is supposed to be for the protein production to fight off this virus. But it, in the analysis of multiple vials, high levels of DNA contamination in both a monovalent and bivalent vaccines in orders of magnitude higher than the limitations. Oh, I think this is the regulatory board for Europe, and FDA is what we call it. So it was magnitudes higher. I mean, 10 nanograms per dose is what's allowed in our FDA, whatever, 330 nanograms per milliliter there. So what they found was an enormous amount of DNA particles in the RNA that I injected into me, into my kids, into my patients. So how does such dangerous, large-scale contamination escape the scrutiny of the public health officials? And were the manufacturers aware of all of this excess DNA that was found inside these vaccinations? Oh, yeah, this is the part that I wanted to say. When you have foreign DNA in your human genome, it disrupts the existing natural genetic sequence. It also carries a further risk of disease, including cancer. I mean, DNA in your body, very dangerous. That's like CRISPR, except it's random chance of what the heck's in there, because it's a contaminant. It's not intended to be in there. What's it doing in there?
I don't think it's unintended. I'll explain that when we come back. I'm Todd Herman. This is Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Just joining us in the last segment, I probably was a little hard on a doctor who decided to admit that she allowed herself, and she did allow herself, to be utterly conned about the mRNA gene sequencing devices, which are sometimes still called vaccines, from people who don't know better or people who want to lie. And her name is Dr. Annette Bosworth. She went through this paper, very, very important paper that proves in peer-reviewed fashion that these injections will continue to kill people. And we just wrapped up, and we'll get to the tower babbling, I promise. We were wrapping up. She was talking about the fact that that DNA, not necessarily human, but DNA has been found in 30 orders of magnitude more vials than should exist. See, like when you have a food product, there's a certain amount of rat hair that can show up at a food product and be, quote, okay. Because you can't have perfect food processing. It's just not going to happen. So the FDA reasonably says, yeah, sometimes there's going to be rat hair in things. And they do the same thing with contaminants in vaccines. That look, a person might touch this, or they might poke themselves and not know it, and some human DNA could get in here. So they allow an allowable amount. That many orders of magnitude more? The doctor was saying that's sloppy. I disagree. And this is conjecture, right? This is pure conjecture, but it's a pattern recognition. If you go through the chain of events, this is why I disagree. A group of people who have expressed a desire to reduce the Earth's population by 7 billion people. Okay, that's an expressed desire. Who are carrying that out with mass abortion, who are having the side effect of carrying that out by sterilizing a very large portion of this generation, by promoting same-sex activity as not just equal to, but somehow better than heteronormative sexual activity. That is, in other words, the way God designed it. They created a virus. In all likelihood, at this point, it is difficult to make the case that this wasn't created in the Wuhan lab. using your tax dollars as laundered through academic organizations. That's the same Wuhan lab you are paying right now to make more dangerous versions of bird flus. You are paying them to do that right now. Okay, so the people who want to reduce the Earth's population by 7 billion are the same groups of people who paid to have this virus created using your money. They had already patented the alleged cure. Already. They then rushed through the alleged vaccine. They lied about it being a vaccine. They lied that it stayed at the point of injection. Anybody who's worked in oncology or an oncologist, a doctor who's a cancer doc, all knew it was a lie. Because of the way these injections are constructed, wrapping the code in a lipid nanoparticle, which is what you wrap, you use that to make sure the solution goes through the whole body. They use that in end-stage cancer patients to make sure chemo goes everywhere, okay? So they knew. Then they defrauded the studies, including purposely defrauding it in multiple ways, such as giving the placebo group the injections, Pfizer again. Then they pretended that everybody needed the injections. They covered up the fact that they knew this would cause heart problems, lung problems, other problems. They covered that up. They lied about the efficacy. And they're still lying about the fact that it's killing people. But yeah, the DNA in there, that's a mistake. No, it's not. That's conjecture. What I just said is conjecture. The other things I just talked about, that process, not really conjecture. I do not buy that. And here's my closing argument. How is it that all these pharma companies decided on this? Hey, let's fight a virus that 99.84% of people survive by hijacking people's genes to produce a version of the most dangerous portion of this virus. How is it that they all landed on that? It only adds up if you're willing to do the math. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people, wise, on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
We have the strongest economy in the world today. Right now, today, the United States of America has the strongest economy in the world.
The Tower of Babbling.
The Tower of Babbling contains usually three, sound bites that I think indicate that God does place supposedly wise people on these human monuments, that we can behold their wisdom, and God can then say, hey, compare that to me. First soundbite, how would you have answered this question on what used to be a game show and is now a leftist political platform, Jeopardy?
Parts of speech six.
Zem, zers, zemself. Chris.
What are pronouns?
Those are pronouns, neo-pronouns. You have 62.
Those are neo-pronouns, new pronouns. No, they're gibberish. They're not pronouns. They're gibberish. They mean nothing. I think the way I would have answered this is, if I was on Jeopardy, I would say, what are made-up pronouns designed to normalize a dreadful mental disorder that is destroying families? Now, that would have been edited. I'm sure the show would have edited it down to, or perhaps cut the entire question out and probably started the game over. How fascinating that Satan is so easily able to penetrate specific segments of society so thoroughly. Do those segments of society have anything in common Well, one of the things about entertainment and having worked around Hollywood and in it to some degree, but only because I had Microsoft money to spend when I worked there, I can tell you that they have this human approval. Entertainment is the business of human approval. What are we not to seek? We're to seek approval of God, not humans. You know what else is a business based upon human approval? Politics and media. Oh gosh, I know I'm in that business. I know. I'm so thankful. This sounds weird. I am so thankful that God did not make me the host of Rush's program after Rush Limbaugh died. I'm so glad. So glad. I would have thought I'd done that. I'm so glad that it took an act of God to get me on AFR and for my platform to grow as it has. Second soundbite in today's Tower of Babbling, Jonah Goldberg. He's a nice enough guy. He is. But he has a very bad case of Trump derangement syndrome.
That, I mean, in what world does, I mean, McConnell, after January 6th, had a hard break with Donald Trump. What are the pressures that he is under right now? How do you think he's thinking about this? And what are people going to think if he ultimately reconciles with a guy that, you know, basically led an invasion of his house?
Yeah, I mean, it's stories like this that are why I can't stop cutting myself. I mean, it is so...
Let's not joke about this so quickly.
Let's not joke about it. Is that something that's a serious thing? But I take your point, why it's hard.
Pretty funny. Well, unless you have a kid that's cutting themselves because of the policies of the administration that man pushed, like the school lockdowns, like conning kids into believing they're born in the wrong body. And I mean it when I tell you Jonah's a nice guy. He truly is a nice guy, but dang it. He's got the Trump derangement syndrome bad. Trump led an invasion of Mitch McConnell's house in Kentucky? Of course she means the Senate chamber. And by leading that invasion, Trump did it in a very clever way by saying, now proceed peacefully to the Capitol. Peacefully. And remember, do not get in arguments with the police. They're our friends. We're law and order. That is a very clever way to lead an invasion of Mitch McConnell's house, which is not Mitch McConnell's house. Speaking, though, of the soon-to-be former Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell is not a nice man. And he has a real bad case of being owned by foreign influences.
And I think it's pretty safe to say we all agree we need to avoid a government shutdown. Speaker was optimistic that they'll be able to move forward first with the four bills. And under no circumstances does anybody want to shut the government down. So I think we can stop that drama right here before it emerges. We're simply not going to do that. So we're going to come close, I hope, to having an orderly appropriation process, obviously not by the time we should have done it, but better than we've done some years by getting this four through and then doing the balance of them as a minibus a little bit later.
So once again, the Senate and the House will refuse to do its constitutional duty of creating a budget, which it hasn't done for some 20 years. One of the few things that the Congress is required to do, and it's hard. So Mitch McConnell, though, getting what he wants, which is Ukraine. That's the number one thing, except it's not the number one thing, not to America. And if you're going to destroy the world's lifeboat, which America has been, we are 5% of the world's population. We've taken in at least 20% of the world's displaced peoples. If you're going to destroy the lifeboat, then everybody drowns. Except God will never flood the earth again. And we are visitors here. This is not our home. We're to be good citizens while we're here, but it is not our home. That's with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
We usually wrap up the show with a personal observation from me, and it's my way of letting you get to know the rodeo clown who hosts this show, because you're so kind to spend this time with us. And we'll do that today, although by way of a great sermon that God placed into the mouth of my pastor last night. I've taken to going to church on Thursday nights, which kind of bugs me. But it allows me to spend more time at home with wife and family. It does. And in that case, it's a good trade. So into Jim Putman's mouth, he's the senior pastor at Real Life Ministries and has become a dear friend. God placed some brilliant, brilliant statements about closing gaps. See, we often have gaps between us and God, the way God would have us live in pursuit of holiness, in pursuit of his righteousness that he imparts to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Some of the gaps are pretty large. So in my case, the gap was enormous. My family are classically good people. They're honest people. They're hardworking people. Most of them are civil servants, really actual civil servants. And very few of them recognize God at all in their life. Very few. My dad didn't recognize God until he was in his deathbed, and then he accepted the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, of course, there's still hope for my family. But those gaps are sometimes even larger. I've seen gaps in people's lives that are so enormous, so far apart. For instance, a guy I got to mentor was raised in a house where the parents had all sorts of money and the kids rarely ate. The parents had all sorts of time, but the kids barely got any. It created an enormous gap, enormous anger in this man. He didn't even really understand the anger until he got to the other side. See, through drug abuse, being imprisoned multiple times, God led him to the bottom, which resulted in him one night falling into prayer. Falling into prayer. He slipped and fell into prayer. And in a short 5 years, the gap that he's closed had me discover him sitting next to me in church one day. What are you doing here? Why would I not be here? But he wasn't alone. He brought five other people. That gap is closing. Praise God. We can all close the gaps in our life. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And until God decides we can all speak again together, on behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.